Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastomavidivishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 11, The Event of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Okay,
page 11. Chandidas was born in the village of Nanura, which is also in the Birbhum district of Bengal. He was born of a Brahmin family, and it is said that he also took birth in the beginning of the 14th century. Shakabda era. It has been suggested that Chandidas and Vidyapati were great friends because the writings of both express the transcendental feelings of separation profusely. The feelings of ecstasy described by Chandidas and Vidyapati were actually exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He relished all those feelings in the role of Srimati Radharani, and his appropriate associates for this purpose were Sri Ramananda Rai and Sri Sarup Damodar Goswami. These intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu helped the Lord very much in the pastimes in which he felt like Radharani. Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments in this connection that such feelings of separation as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoyed from the books of Vidyapati, Chandidas, and Jayadev are especially reserved for persons like Sri Ramananda Rai and Sarup Damodar, who are Paramahamsas, men of the topmost perfection, because of their advanced spiritual consciousness. Such topics are not to be discussed by ordinary persons imitating the activities of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For critical students of mundane poetry and literary men without God consciousness, who are after bodily sense gratification, there is no need to read such a high standard of transcendental literature. Persons who are after sense gratification should not try to imitate Raghunuga devotional service. The songs of Chandidas, Vidyapati, and Jayadev describe the transcendental activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mundane reviewers of these songs simply help people in general become debauchees, and thus leads only to social scandals and atheism in the world. One should not misunderstand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna to be the activities of a mundane young boy and girl. The mundane sexual activities of young boys and girls are most abominable. Therefore, those who are in bodily consciousness and who desire sense gratification are forbidden to indulge in discussions of the transcendental pastimes of Sri Radha and Krishna. Because the Raghunuga means it's a natural thing. It's one follows that. It's not a matter of the things themselves. If it's just a matter of the hearing about these technical points is the attractive aspect. That's not the point. It's about the relationship, the interaction between Radha and Krishna. That's the point. So if that's appreciated, then we see those on the platform, the Raghunuga, they can appreciate this. So it's not that, oh, but if we read this, we'll develop it. It doesn't work like that. Not at this point. So we're hearing about, like we see how Prabhupada has explained the Rasa dance and all that, then you read that and be happy. Because you see, when Prabhupada's talking, he brings out that kind of mood that's there, the practical applied mood that is there. He doesn't necessarily emphasize certain technical secondary details. The other acharyas may bring them out, may not bring them out. You can see it goes either way. But the point is that knowing about these doesn't mean that it makes it any more Krishna conscious. Because Krishna consciousness is Krishna consciousness. It's not the secondary. Does that make sense? So the gopis, they're expressing their rati for Krishna through the secondary attributes of conjugal rasa. But it's not about these secondary attributes. It's about the mood itself. It's just that those secondary attributes are perfect for expressing the conjugal rasa. like that. But it's not about them, right? Because on the material platform, then it's about the secondary aspects. Mm-hmm. And that's why people like to hear about them and all that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why it's not recommended. So, yeah, so these aren't general reading. Like that. Like, I think one devotee came across, I think the poems of Vidyapati. You know, and he brought it into Prabhupada. I'm not sure when it was, but, you know, it would have been at that time in America. And he brought in, you know, can we read these things? Prabhupada said, no, this is not for you. So they took it, and Prabhupada was reading for, you know, some time, maybe half hour, 45 minutes. And the devotee came back in. When the devotee came in, Prabhupada read some little passage right there. You know, just some particular passage. And then the devotee became very embarrassed and all that, and then left. And then you can understand, you know, Prabhupada saying, yeah, so don't read this. Does that make sense? Yeah? So the idea that you read this, it will induce... No, it's not like that. Yes?
So can we say that those poems, they serve as an udipan?
Yes.
Mahaprabhu's feelings?
They're an udipan for those on Rag Marg for appreciating the pastimes between Radha and Krishna. Otherwise, it's not that the facts produce it.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. Sometimes it's thought. That's the point of the sahajas. They think, you know the facts, you know the lingo, you know the talk. Then that makes you elevated because you know stuff that other people don't know. But it has nothing to do with that. It's about gaining that in the proper line and then having that surrender. So you can say, but it's connected to Krishna. But the problem is we won't see the point where it is connected to Krishna. We'll see the secondary. So that's why we're very careful with this. So, yeah.
Is it why we need a constant guidance?
Yes,
go from step to step without...
Yes. Yes, yes, exactly. That's why we have the Acharya's commentaries, because they're going to say. Now, these are devotees who, they themselves are from these pastimes, and they're talking how to get there.
Yes.
So it's not by these other methods, because these others, they sound very nice and interesting, because the idea that Raga Nuga is a different process means, in other words, the secondary process of Vaidhi Bhakti, you know, which you get purified by, then it's thought the Raga Nuga is something else, so therefore it's a different padati of secondary activities. But that doesn't make sense, because rag means it's the natural attraction. It's not about the secondary, it's the primary. So while performing the general principles of sadhana, then if one has that rag, then one is naturally attracted to Krishna. So it's not what the activity you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's Krishna himself that's attracted.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Because if you look at it, which angle are they... It means, let's say, okay, we're talking about Radha and Krishna having pastimes. Right? And we're talking about the intimate pastimes. What's the perspective we're looking at it from?
It can be material perspective.
Yes, well that's there, but from whose vision we're looking? We say, okay, Krishna's dancing with the gopis and he puts his arm around the gopi like this. Whose perspective are we looking at it from?
The Krishna.
Krishna. That's not rag. Rag means you're looking at it from the gopi's perspective. Because Krishna is the enjoyment of it. He's the Vishaya. But we're following the ashram. You understand? That's the whole point, right there. That's exactly the point.
Yes.
Point is, if we're following the footsteps of the gopis, means you see it through how they see it.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's the whole thing. That's how it means, if you ever want to know, that's how you look at it. You check that, and then, then we won't get into this. Because Krishna is the udipan. But the mood and all that is from the gopis. They're the ashraya. Krishna's the vishaya. Does that make sense? You know, it's just something new and different. So that's why we're into it. But if that's the same thing over and over again, it's not new and different anymore.
Yes.
Like for most, if you read Krishna book now, it'll be new and different. Yeah, even Bhagavad Gita is like, well, wow, where is this coming from? You know, like, so, yeah. 1.13.43, in separation from Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relished all these ecstatic activities, and thus he fulfilled his own desires. Right, so he's fulfilling his desires to understand, and now how is Lord Chaitanya looking at it? From the mood of Radharani and from them. So we're not Radharani, he's taking that mood. We're the servants of, the assistants of. Yes. So makes sense. So that's that. It's also an interesting point is this Vidyapati Chandidas and Jayade. They're coming just before. So it's just by them coming, they establish that environment. You know, just like before Krishna comes, all the Yadus take birth and everything like that. So before he comes to his pastimes, then these great personalities come and then document these pastimes. So then now he can then relish that. Right? Because you have to go by Shastra. Srila Prabhupada. In the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's said that Lord Chaitanya appeared in order to taste the feelings of Radharani, felt upon seeing Krishna. Krishna himself could not understand the ecstatic feelings of Radharani towards him, and therefore he desired to accept the role of Radharani, and thereby taste these feelings. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna with the feelings of Radharani. In other words, he is a combination of Radha and Krishna. It is therefore said, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahe Anya. By worshipping Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu alone, one can relish the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna together. One should therefore try to understand Radha and Krishna not directly, but through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and through his devotees. Srila Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Rupa Raghunath Pade Haibe Akuti Kabe Hama Bhujabo Se Jugala Piriti. When shall I develop a mentality of service towards Sri Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and the other devotees of Lord Chaitanya, and thus become eligible to understand the pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna? Right? So we can only understand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna through the Acharyas. So how they are documenting, how they're giving, what path they're giving, that's what we're following. Other things than there, as Prabhupada said before, it's useless. And so then you get that by having given up material desire by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. Yes. And that is gained by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya that you get Lord Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. Because giving up the material, then you appreciate, you don't have material desire, so you're not interested in the desire of this world. Then you can understand Vrindavan. That's the environment. Right? Then, by the grace of the Goswamis, then you can understand Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Right? So that's how it works. So if you use any other method, this and that, it just won't work. That's all. You know, you can try, but it won't work. And the problem is then you may get stuck on that path. Mm-hmm. 1.13.44-50. The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are unlimited. So how can a small living entity elaborate about those transcendental pastimes? If Seshanaga Ananta personally were to make the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya into sutras, even with the thousands of mouths, there's no possibility he could find their limit. Devotees like Sri Sarup Damodar and Murari Gupta have recorded all the principal pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in the form of notes. After deliberate consideration, the notes kept by Sri Sarup Damodar and Murari Gupta are the basis of this book. Following those notes, I write of all the pastimes of the Lord. The notes have been described elaborately by Vrindavan Das Thakur. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, the authorized writer of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is as good as Srila Vyasadeva. He has described the pastimes in such a way as to make them sweeter and sweeter. Being afraid of his book becoming too voluminous, he left some places without vivid descriptions. I shall try to fill those places as far as possible. The transcendental pastimes of Lord Chaitanya have actually been relished by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. I am simply trying to chew the remnants of food left by him. So what he's described then in here will be just briefly mentioned. You know, so there's a continuity of the pastimes. Like he says, he will give them in chronological order. And areas where he hasn't described, then he'll give more detail. So it seems that in the Navadvip Lila, that's where he gave the maximum detail. And then after that, in the Sannyas Lila, then that's where Krishna's Kaviraj is giving more detail. Mm-hmm. Right? Because he's worried the book would be so big. Verses 51 to 124. Lord Chaitanya's Janma Lila. 1:13:51-56. My dear devotees of Lord Chaitanya, let me now write a synopsis of the Adi Lila. I write of these pastimes in brief because it is not possible to describe them in full. To fulfill a particular desire within his mind, Lord Krishna, Rajendra Kumar, decided to descend to this planet after mature contemplation. Lord Krishna, therefore, first allowed his family of superiors to descend to the earth. I shall try to describe them in brief because it is not possible to describe them fully. Lord Sri Krishna, before appearing as Lord Chaitanya, requested these devotees to precede him. Sri Sachi Devi, Jagannath Mistra, Madhavendra Puri, Keshava Bharati, Ishwar Puri, Advaita Acharya, Srivas Pandit, Acharya Ratna, Vidya Nidhi, and Thakur Haridas. There are also Sri Upendra Mistra, a resident of the district of Srihatta. He was a great devotee of Lord Vishnu, a learned scholar, a rich man, and a reservoir of all good qualities. Srila Prabhupada. Upendra Mistra is described in the Gaura-Ganadesh Tipika 35 as the Gopala named Parjanya, the same personality who was formerly the grandfather of Lord Krishna, appeared as Upendra Mistra at Srihatta and begot 7 sons. He was a resident of Dhaka Dakshina Grama in the district of Srihatta. There are still many residents of that part of the country who introduce themselves as belonging to the Mistra family of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 1:13:57-60. Upendra Mistra had 7 sons who were all saintly and most influential. 1. Kamsari. 2. Paramananda. 3. Padmanabha. 4. Sarveshwara. 5. Jagannatha. 6. Janardana, and 7. Trilokyanatha. Jagannath Mistra, the 5th son, decided to reside on the bank of the Ganges at Nadia. Jagannath Mistra was designated as Purandara, exactly like Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev. He was an ocean of all good qualities. His wife, Srimati Sachi Devi, was a chaste woman highly devoted to her husband. Sachi Devi's father's name was Nilambara, and his surname was Chakrabarti. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anupasya, in the Gaura Ganadesh Deepika 104, it is mentioned that Nilambar Chakrabarti was formerly Gargamuni. Some of the family descendants of Nilambar Chakrabarti still live in the village of the name Magdoba in the district of Faridpur in Bangladesh. His nephew is Jagannath Chakrabarti, also known as Mamu Thakur, who became a disciple of Pandit Goswami and stayed at Jagannath Puri as the priest of Tota Gopinath. Nilambar Chakrabarti lived at Navadvip in the neighborhood of Belpakuria. No, it's just Belpakur. This fact is mentioned in the book Prema Vilas. Because he lived near the house of the Qazi was also considered one of the maternal uncles of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Qazi used to address Nilambar Chakrabarti as Kaka, or uncle. One cannot separate the residence of the Qazi from Bamanpukur, because the tomb of the Qazi is still existing there. Formerly, the place was known as Belpakuria, and is now called Bamanpukuria. This has been ascertained by archaeological evidence. Okay, so that was all there. And so then the part probably that's farther back that they call Belpakur is probably just the outer edges of, you know, the outer edges of it, and just the main part, and that's now Bhamantra. Okay. 1:13:61. In Radhadesh, a part of Bengal where the Ganges is not visible, Nityananda Prabhu, Gangadas Pandit, Murari Gupta, and Mukunda took birth. Srila Prabhupada. Here, Radhadesh refers to the village of the name Ekachakra, in the district of Birbhum, next to Burdwan. After the Burdwan railway station, there is another branch line, which is called the Loop Line of the Eastern Railway. And there is a railway station of the name Malarapura. 8 miles east of this railway station, Ekachakra village is still situated. Ekachakra village extends north and south for an area of about 8 miles. Other villages named Virachandrapura and Virabhadrapura are situated within the area of the village of Ekachakra. In honor of the holy name of Virabhadra Goswami, these places are renowned as Virachandrapura and Virabhadrapura. In the Bengali year 1331, AD 1924, a thunderbolt struck the temple of Ekachakra Gram. Therefore, the temple is now in a broken state. Before this, there was no such accidents in that quarter. Within the temple, there's a deity of Sri Krishna established by Sri Nityananda Prabhu. The name of the deity is Bankim Rai, or Banka Rai. On Bankim Rai's right side is the deity of Janava, and on his left side is Srimati Radharani. The priests of the temple described that Lord Nityananda Prabhu entered within the body of Bankim Rai, and that the deity of Janava Mata was therefore later placed on the right side of Bankim Rai. Afterwards, many other deities were installed within the temple. On another throne within the temple are deities of Murali Dhara and Radha Madhava. On another throne are deities of Mano, Mohana, Vrindavan Chandra, and Gorni Thai. But Bankim Rai is the deity originally installed by Nityananda Prabhu. On the eastern side of the temple is a ghat known as Kadamba Kandi, on the bank of a river called the Yamuna. It is said that the deity of Bankim Rai was floating in the water, and Lord Nityananda Prabhu picked him up and then installed him in the temple. Thereafter, in a place known as Bardapura, in the village of Virachandrapura, about half a mile west, in a place underneath a neem tree, Srimati Radharani was found. For this reason, the Radharani of Bankim Rai is known as Bardapurera Thakurani, the mistress of Bardapura. On another throne, on the right side of Bankim Rai, is the deity of Yogamaya. Now the temple and temple corridor rest on a high plinth, and on a concrete structure in front of the temple is the Kirtan Hall. It is also said that on the northern side of the temple there is a deity of Lord Shiva named Bandishwara, and that the father of Nityananda Prabhu, Hari Pandit, used to worship that deity. At present, however, the Bandishwara deity is missing, and in his place a Jagannath Swami deity has been installed. Lord Nityananda Prabhu did not factually construct any temples. The temple was constructed at the time of Virabhadra Prabhu in the Bengali year 1298, AD 1891. A brahmachari of the name Shivananda Swami repaired the temple, for it had become dilapidated. In this temple, there is an arrangement to offer food to the deity on the basis of 17 seers, about 34 pounds of rice and necessary vegetables. The present priestly order of the temple belongs to the family of Gopijana Vallabhananda, one of the branches of Nityananda Prabhu. There is a land settlement in the name of the temple, and income from this land finances the expenditures for the temple. There are three parties of priestly Goswamis who take charge of the temple management, one after another. A few steps from the temple is a place known as Vishramatala, where it is said that Nityananda Prabhu, in his childhood, used to enjoy sporting with his friends by enacting the Rasa Leela and various other pastimes of Vrindavan. Near the temple is a place called Imlitala, which is also named because of a big tamarind tree there. According to a party named the Naidadi Sampradaya, Virabhadra Prabhu, with the assistance of 1,200 Naidas, Buddhist monks, dug a great lake of the name Sveta Ganga. Outside of the temple are tombs of the Goswamis. And there is a small river known as Maudeshwara, which is called the water of Jamuna. Within half a mile from this small river is the birthplace of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. It appears that there was a big kirtan hall in front of the temple, but later it became dilapidated. It is now covered by banyan trees. Later on, a temple was constructed within which Gaur Nityananda deities are existing. The temple was constructed by the late Prasanna Kumar Kara Farma. A tablet was installed in his memory in the Bengali year 1323, A.D. 1916, in the month of Baishak, April, May. The place where Nityananda Prabhu appeared is called Garbhavasa. There is an allotment of about 43 bighas, 14 acres of land, to continue the worship in a temple there. The Maharaj of Dinajpur donated 20 bighas of land, about 6.5 acres, in this connection. It is said that near the place known as Garbhavasa, Harai Pandit conducted a primary school. The priests of this place, listed in a genealogical table, were as follows: Sri Raghava Chandra, 2 Jagannanda Dasa, 3 Krishna Dasa, 4 Nityananda Dasa, 5 Rama Dasa, 6 Vraj Mohana Dasa, 7 Kanai Dasa, 8 Gaura Dasa, 9 Shivananda Dasa, and 10 Hari Dasa. Krishna Dasa belonged to the Chidya Gunja at Vrindavan. The date of his disappearance is Krishna Janmasthami. Chidya Gunja is a place now managed by the Goswamis of Shringara Ghat in Vrindavan. They are known as belonging to the Nityananda family, most probably on the basis of their relationship with Krishna Das. So the Shringarvat, that was Nityananda, because generally we never go in there so much.
Indrajumna Maharaj now every year holds a program.
Okay, there it goes. Yeah, but it's more recent. Previously, it's just behind Radha Damodar, but no one
It's near the Jamuna.
Yeah, no one really used to go much. Near Garbhavasa is a place called Bokulatala, where Sri Nityananda Prabhu and his boyfriends used to take part in sporting activities known as Jala Japeta. There is a Bokula tree there that is wonderful because all its branches and sub-branches looks like the hoods of serpents. It has been suggested by the desire of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Anantadeva manifested himself in that way. The tree is very old. It is said that formerly it had 2 trunks. But later on, when the pastimes of Nityananda Prabhu felt inconvenience in jumping from the branches of one trunk to the other, Nityananda Prabhu, by his mercy, merged the 2 trunks into one. Another place nearby is named Hantudgada. It is said that Lord Nityananda Prabhu brought all the holy places there. Therefore, the people in the surrounding villages go there instead of off to the Ganges to take bath. It is named Hantudgada because Srila Nityananda Prabhu used to perform the Dadichira festival of distributing chipped rice with yoga prasadam there, and he took the prasadam kneeling down. A sanctified lake in this place is always full of water throughout the year. A great fair is held there during Goshtastami. And there is another big fair on the birthday of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. In the Gauranadesh Deepika, 85-63, it is described that Halayudha, Baladev, Vishwarup, and Sankarsana appeared as Nityananda Avadhuta. Lord Krishna, Brajendra Kumar, first caused countless devotees to appear, and at last he appeared himself. Before the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees of Navadvipa used to gather in the house of Advaitacharya. In these meetings of the Vaishnavas, Advaitacharya used to recite the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, decrying the paths of philosophical speculation and fruit of activity, and establishing the super excellence of devotional service. In all the revealed scriptures of Vedic literature, Vedic culture, devotional service to Lord Krishna is explained throughout. Therefore, devotees of Lord Krishna do not recognize the process of philosophical speculation, mystic yoga, unnecessary austerity, and so-called religious rituals. They do not accept any process but devotional service. Srila Prabhupada. Our Krishna consciousness movement follows this principle. We do not recognize any method for spiritual realization other than Krishna consciousness, devotional service. Sometimes we are criticized by groups following jnana, yoga, tapas, or dharma. But fortunately, we are unable to make any compromises with them. We simply stand on the platform of devotional service and preach the same principles all over the world. 1366. In the house of Advaitacharya, all the Vaishnavas took pleasure in always talking of Krishna, always worshipping Krishna, and always chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Srila Prabhupada, on these principles only does the Krishna consciousness movement go on. We have no business other than to talk of Krishna, worship Krishna, and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. 1.13.67. But Sri Advaitacharya Prabhu felt pain to see all the people without Krishna consciousness, simply merged in material sense gratification, sense enjoyment. Srila Prabhupada, a bona fide devotee of Lord Krishna is always pained to see the fallen condition of the whole world. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, there is no scarcity of anything within the world. The only scarcity is of Krishna consciousness. End quote. That is the vision of all pure devotees. Because of this lack of Krishna consciousness in human society, people are suffering terribly, being merged in an ocean of nescience and sense gratification. A devotee onlooker is very much aggrieved to see such a situation in the world. Because right? Whatever is necessary is there. Right? It's due to material attachment and ignorance that people don't know how to take advantage, and so therefore then they suffer. So what's missing, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur pointed out, is just Krishna consciousness. You just have to add Krishna consciousness to what already is there. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Seeing the condition of the world, he began to think seriously of how all these people could be delivered from the clutches of Maya. Srila Advaitacharya Prabhu thought, quote, if Krishna himself appears in order to distribute the cult of devotional service, then only will liberation be possible for all people. End quote. With this consideration, Advaitacharya Prabhu, promising to cause Lord Krishna to descend, began to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, with tulsi leaves and water of the Ganges. By loud cries, he invited Krishna to appear, and this repeated invitation attracted Lord Krishna to descend. Before the birth of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 8 daughters took birth, one after another, from the womb of Sachimata, the wife of Jagannath Mishra. But just after their birth, they all died. Jagannath Mishra was very unhappy at the death of his children, one after another. Therefore, desiring a son, he worshipped the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. After this, Jagannath Mishra got a son of the name Vishwarup, who was most powerful and highly qualified because he was an incarnation of Baladev. Srila Prabhupada, Vishwarup was the elder brother of Gaurahari, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When arrangements were being made for the marriage of Vishwarup, he took sannyas and left home. He took the sannyas name of Shankararanya. In 1431 Shakabda area, AD 1509, he disappeared in Pandarapura, in the district of Sholapur. As an incarnation of Shankarsana, he is both the ingredient and immediate cause of the creation of this material world. He is non-different from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for the amsa and amsi, or the part and the whole, are not different. As an incarnation of Shankarsana, Vishwarup belongs to the quadruple manifestation of Chaturvyuha. In the Gaura Chandrodaya, it is said that Vishwarup, after his so-called demise, remained mixed within Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Right? You mentioned before Nityananda Prabhu, then he had all those aspects. 1.13.75-79. The expansion of Baladev, known as Sankarsana in the spiritual world, is the ingredient and immediate cause of this material manifestation, cosmic manifestation. The gigantic universal form is called the Vishwarup incarnation of Mahasankarsana. Thus, we do not find anything within this cosmic manifestation except the Lord himself. Right? So that the point is, everything here is Krishna, so how can there be any shortage? Right? You deal with Krishna, then all benefits are there. Right? Quote, as threads in a cloth spread both lengthwise and breadthwise, so the Supreme Personality of Godhead exists directly and indirectly within everything we see in this cosmic manifestation. This is not very wonderful for him. Footnote 3. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:15:35. Because Mahasankarshan is the ingredient and efficient cause of the cause of manifestation, he is present in every detail of it. So from there you can see Krishna in everything. Right? That's the whole. Lord Chaitanya therefore called him his elder brother. The two brothers are known as Krishna and Balaram in the spiritual world. But at the present moment they are Chaitanya and Nittai. Therefore the conclusion is that Nityananda Prabhu is the original Sankarshan of Baladeva. The husband and wife, Jagannath Mishra and Satyamata, having begotten Vishwarupa as their son, were very pleased within their minds. Because of their pleasure, they specifically began to serve the lotus feet of Govinda. Srila Prabhupada. There is a common saying in India that everyone goes to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he is in distress. But when a person is in an opulent position, he forgets God. In the Bhagavad Gita 7.16, this is confirmed. Quote, if backed by pious activities in the past, four kinds of men, namely those who are distressed, those in need of money, those searching after knowledge, and those who are inquisitive, become interested in devotional service. The husband and wife, Jagannath Mishra and Satyamata, were very unhappy because their eight daughters had passed away. Now, when they got Vishwarupa as their son, certainly they became extremely happy. They knew that it was by the grace of the Lord that they were endowed with such happiness and opulence. Therefore, instead of forgetting the Lord, they became more and more adherent in rendering service to the lotus feet of Govinda. When a common man becomes opulent, he forgets God. But the more opulent a devotee becomes by the grace of Krishna, the more he becomes attached to the service of the Lord. Because he knows that all these things are coming by Krishna's grace. So it's just more and more he thinks of Krishna. 11380. In the month of January, in the year 1406 of the Shaka era, AD 1485, Lord Krishna entered the bodies of both Jagannath Mishra and Sachi. Srila Prabhupada. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his birth in the year 1407 Shaka era, AD 1486, in the month of Falgun. But here we see that he entered the bodies of his parents in the year 1406. In the month of Magh. Therefore, the Lord entered the bodies of his parents 13 full months before his birth. Mm-hmm. Generally, a common child remains in the womb of his mother for 10 lunar months. But here we see that the Lord remained within the body of his mother for 13 months. Right? So, because it says 10 months, so the Vedic is 10 months because it's lunar. Because in the West they'll say it's 9, but it's not 9, it's about 9.5, like this. So, like that. But it's so. Yeah. Yeah. So 13 months. So.
What is Shaka area?
That's the Bengali year. So what started Shaka? I'm not sure.
Bengali year is actually a little different. That'll be like 300 years prior. Shaka is, I think, the same as Shakabda.
The same as?
Shakabda.
Oh, Shakabda. Okay. Yeah. And do you know what the background of these?
Further, I'm not sure.
It'll be something, some empire, some king, something like that. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You know, there's some date, and from there, then they start.
We always use that.
Yes, because that's how it's always calculated. Because that was what was commonly used at the time. And then when the British come, we're used to the AD.
Yes.
And so then, you know, then 1486. You know, and we're happy to go with AD. We're not much of these, what do you call it? What's the new one? Oh, A-C-E, I think. And BCE. So before Common Era, after Common Era. Because they want to leave Christ out of it, so it's not before Christ and Anno Domini,
yeah,
like that. So, yeah, what to do? 1381 to 1382. Jagannath Mishra said to Satyamata, "I see wonderful things. Your body is effulgent, and it appears as if the goddess of fortune were now staying personally in my home. Anywhere and everywhere I go, all people offer me respect." Even without my asking, they voluntarily give me riches, clothing, and paddy. Srila Prabhupada. A brahmana does not become anyone's servant. To render service to someone else is the business of the shudras. A brahmana is always independent because he's a teacher, spiritual master, and advisor to society, right? Because if he's working for someone, then he's not, like, let's say, he works for in the school, and then the students pay tuition. So if that maintains him, then they're actually hiring him. And so then the problem comes up is now what they want is what he has to do rather than what needs to be taught or what needs to be done. So that's why Brahmins don't work like that. You can give donations, but they don't. They're not working. The members of society provide him with all the necessities of life. So that's the point to be noted, right? In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says he has divided society into four divisions. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. The society cannot run smoothly without this scientific division. It means you can't say that you'll just have one. It's all the same. It won't work. Because even you try communism, where their whole point was to make one, but you had the people, right? They're the, what is it, the proletariat or something like that?
Yeah.
And then you have the ones in the Kremlin who manage the place. So it's not all equal. You know, such was it? What's the saying? All animals are equal, just some are more equal than others. But, you know, so they say, but it has to run with all these. So, because it got rid of the intellectual, there's no direction, there's no people need the religion, that's not there, so then it becomes a problem. And they unfortunately got rid of all the vices, so they're not making any money, so then the whole thing collapses. So you need all four. Like that. A Brahmin should give good advice to all the members of society. A Kshatriya should look after the administration, maintaining law and order in society. Notice he gives advice. He doesn't manage the country. Does that make sense? So he gives advice. So this idea that you have a temple board and then they tell the president what to do, that's not bona fide. Then he's not a manager, he's a Shudra. Right? So that's okay, then he'll just do what's there, but if anything goes wrong, it's 100% the fault of the of the board. But the board will say, no, he's the manager. So that's the point. Brahmins give advice, they don't run it. The Kshatriyas run it. Right? Yeah.
Maharaj, I was just looking at this day, and it was cited in the book by Bhaktivedanta Swami, Leadership for an Age of Higher Consciousness, Volume 2, where he cited the example of King Vena, or his father, I can't remember exactly his name, but he gave up the kingdom because he could not correct his incorrigible son.
Right.
So the Brahmanas, they tried, you know, to advise him, and he just increased his cruel and vicious way.
Right.
And they decided they had to get rid of him. So
right.
They killed him by a mantra.
Right.
But when the rogues and the rascals and the thieves started to overtake the kingdom, they did not step in and started fixing things hands on because they felt it was not their responsibility
right.
to do that.
Right.
I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, so then they created a new king. Yeah, that's the point, is that Brahmins don't get involved. This idea is that if you're the, you know, the most senior most and all that, then you have to micromanage everything. But that has nothing to do with human culture. Because it doesn't work. Any manager can tell you that it's absolutely the worst thing possibly you can do. You know, but it's popular because it's not understood. That's why Prabhupada says here, a society cannot run smoothly without this scientific division. So as it is now, you still have all four divisions, but they're not scientific. So there's a mix like that. You know, you'll have, let's say, like a school, but it's run by business people. You know, or you have a hospital, it's run by businessmen. Right? It's not supposed to be run by businessmen. You know, so that's the whole thing, is that all these people that are in there, it's mixed up. You still have the four, but at the same time, it's not so scientific who's doing what. So here the point is they advise. And then the administrators, they have to manage. Like that. And so they may help make arrangements or give advice. If they're ministers to the king, then they may take up particular portfolios. Then they're doing those portfolios under the direction of the king. But the king always has to respect them as Brahmins. You can't deal with them as if they're shudras. So it's a balance. It's a cultural thing.
Maharaj, this cannot exist without God consciousness.
Without?
God Krishna consciousness.
Basically not. Means if you're everyone's situated nicely in goodness, you can get it to for the Brahma Kshatriyas, then you can get it to run on the material platform.
Yes, yes.
But for devotees, what, one, in Kali Yuga, how's that going to work? And two, as devotees, why we would need that? So for us, the Daiva Varnashram means unless you're God conscious, you won't be able to use it. Because only by God consciousness, then one's purified, that one can function with a system that operates through goodness.
Yes.
Right? So we're interested in pure goodness, so therefore dealing with the material world, then we're going to deal with the consciousness of pure goodness, but what we're working with is mechanically goodness, because that's all there is here.
Yes.
Pure goodness is not part of the material world, so the best you have is goodness. So we use that in the consciousness of pure goodness, and you get the effect of pure goodness. So that's why any other system, it's like, why would anybody even look at it? You can say, oh yes, many things to learn, and you can take gold from a dirty place, but unless you know what's gold, how do you know what to pick up? Because if it's not in the mode of goodness, you don't pick it up. And if you can't identify goodness, then what's the point of this being said? So it's a science. You have to understand it. You know, there's training. Prabhupada talks about it constantly. The acharyas talk about it. It's always there because these are the tools that they're using. Right? But it has to be appreciated from the devotional platform. Otherwise, you won't be able to use it. A Brahmin should give good advice to all the members of society. A Kshatriya should look after the administration. Right? So they're not just advising Kshatriyas, also advisors and Shudras.
Yes.
Right? So a Kshatriya should look after the administration, maintaining law and order in society. So they're doing administration, but they have to see that everything's going on nicely. So this idea is that, if you have the temple and you manage the temple, but what goes on in the community, it's we don't get involved in, then how is it administration? It's not that you manage people's lives, but you see that they know the standards and are following the standards. Because the Kshatriyas don't manage people's lives. They just see that they're properly trained and that they're properly following the standards. And so that's why they're maintaining law and order in society. Yes.
In Vedic time, in every community of Brahmanas, or Vaishyas, or Kshatriyas, was some senior person, a signatory of this community, like Nanda Maharaj, leader of Vaishyas.
Right.
What was the difference between their role in leadership and the administrative role of Kshatriya of society? What is the difference?
Kshatriya is dealing with the whole country, so he'll have this whole bureaucracy and all those kind of things. When you're dealing down on this Vaishya level, it's just since they're business, he knows business the best. He's the best at it, and he can work with everyone. He can bring everyone together. They can cooperate. Does that make sense? So he's king of the Vaishyas, like that. So they have some aspects that are like kings. They'll be very wealthy. And all that, and they may have their court and see people and do things. So it'll be similar like the kings, but on a much smaller level.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not their land, it's not this and that. It's been given by the kings, the administration deals with that. And they pay tax.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? The Vaishyas pay tax to the kings. Somebody says? Yeah. Somebody said something?
Smoke.
Oh, in the back.
Smoke.
I mean, smaller than we can't really see.
Oh.
Would it be pro?
Hello.
It's a time to practice astasattva about.
Yes. I wonder if outside they see all the smoke coming over, what they're thinking.
Yeah, sometimes I've seen Bengalis, they get really worried that we are on fire.
Yeah.
Because so much smoke comes out.
Okay.
Sometimes they get agitated. They say something happened. Would it be proper for Brahmana to take Brahminical position as an advisor? Not because he personally wants that position, but because he sees if somebody else occupies that position, that it will harm the society or community or whatever it is.
Means you'll end up having to pass out buckets to everyone. Yeah?
The southern destination buckets.
Yes. Yes, because it, one has to see is what will make everything run nicely. But it should be within his capacity that he can do, or find how much of that capacity he can do. Right? So then he has to educate himself that he has some understanding within these areas and can help people understand what they should do. So basically he's training them what they should do, they should, and that, what they should do, and then those individuals should do it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, and that regulate it in such a way so that it's, it maintains, you know, human standards. You know, it's not at any time of the day or night anybody can call about anything, you know. You know, stuff like that. When you know, so you can still, you know, perform your, live your life. But at the same time is that then they can get the benefit. So, yeah. I mean, it's just like Chanakya. He's running his Gurukul. And then, you know, the government's not working right, so it's all going crazy. So then he takes up the responsibility to establish, find someone and establish, train them and establish them in the government. And then once that's all done, then he goes back to his Gurukul. Yes.
Connected to this point, usually nowadays people are highly unqualified. So,
like the term, highly yes, he's highly unqualified.
They don't think like that, but that's what it is.
No, it is, yeah, of course.
So how much, you know,
so,
force...
So highly educated means you have knowledge and character. So highly unqualified means you have neither.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how much, you know, forceful should a Brahman be in his advising, you know...
How much they can handle that it has an effect. If he wants to be effective and put into it, then it has to be how much is effective. So something that he sees that you could correct in, you know, some weeks might take years.
Still he does it.
Yeah. As long as it's moving forward. But if you see is even doing it, then they all, you know, don't like and this and that, then he, well, why would he get involved? Right? It means even if they grumble but it moves forward, then it's worthwhile. But if they're not going to follow, they say bad things about or give a bad reputation, then why work with these people? You know, it's like Chanakya says, that a Brahmin will never live in a place that, you know, is full of fools. I think there's a story, the Niti Shastra, about these two persons, I think, who are traveling. They come across this village where everything is the same price. Ekdam. Doesn't matter if you're buying gold or buying a potato, they're the same price. And so one friend said, wow, this is fabulous, I'm going to stay here. The other friend says, no, because they're fools. They don't know the value of things. You'll get into trouble. So eventually, I don't know the detail, but he got into trouble. So, yeah. Because they can't tell the difference between what's good and what's not. So, it means if you're getting, it's moving forward, even if it's slowly, but there's something, you know, like a spark, and you can fan it, and something's happening, then you put in the effort. And then, you know, as people get trained and they can start doing, then there's less effort that you have to do. But this can take literally years. Right? And if one has that ability, then it's worth doing, because it's Prabhupada's mission, and so therefore it... When the Lord appreciates that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But if it's out of false ego or this or that, then it won't work for you. You know, I know, they don't know, then it won't work. It's that here's the standards, this is what the Shastra says, this is what Prabhupada's teaching. So then you try to get others to appreciate and understand them. You know, how it works in their life, how it's of value, why they should follow it. If it's just the rules and regulations, then you know, you have to pick your community that can handle that. But if it's about, they can see what's the results of it, what's it for, why they should do it, the cultural aspect of it, how it connects to the philosophy, how it pleases Krishna, then they're going to be able to do it and maintain it. So,
yeah.
Yes.
Maharaj, a system like we just mentioned, where education has been infiltrated by Vaishyas.
Yes.
And medicine, the same thing.
Right.
Where do we start? Because the consciousness is not even there. It's totally.
Well, it's one is you can look at it. It's a job. It makes money, and then you can do your devotional activities. So then you just have to put up with whatever's going on, or you can open your own practice, and so therefore then it may not make as much money, it may not be as well known, but you're independent and unaffected by these things. Mm-hmm. And so that's a Brahmin would rather live with less and be independent than have more and have to deal with all these guys that have no idea what's going on. Mm-hmm. Or you can see it's like they did in Chopati. They just, all the devotees who were doctors got together and they made their own hospital. You know, they thought, why are we all running practices and that all over the city? We'll just all get together and make one place and we'll all work there. So whatever works. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Vaishyas should produce and trade to meet all the needs of society. Right? So what is actually needed, that's what they produce and trade in. In the Vedic system, you don't produce things people don't need. Right? Does that make sense? That's the problem. So, if that's it, it's very standard stuff. And you can say, how will the market, how will the volume go? But the point is if everybody's having all their stuff, then families grow. Families grow means there's more people, means there's more need for more stuff. You know, so it always works. It's not a problem. But that's the point. And then look, just think how much you'll save on advertising. Right? Because it's all stuff people need. You don't have to advertise. Right? Yeah. Huh? Sorry? Advertising, yeah. So they can go into stand up comedy and stuff. So whereas Shudras should render service to the higher sections of society, the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, because that's everything that's going on, the educational, the administrative, and the economic. And so they'll have knowledge in the arts and sciences that support these, and then they'll perform their activities in those areas. Does that make sense? Because there's not something outside of that. Right? Yes?
Can we say, Maharaj, that Shudras and Vaishyas, they happen on their own, and Brahmins and Kshatriyas, they have to be trained.
They have to be trained, and they have to be trained, and the Vaishyas Shudras have to be regulated. Because of the mode of ignorance and passion, they'll do whatever, you know. It's like the Vaishyas will do anything to make money.
Right.
So they don't mind. Like I gave the example, they'll break down, a cultural tradition if they can make money.
Yeah.
So that has regulated by Kshatriyas. They don't allow them to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, people don't need cornflakes. You know? Because they already have their, their chapatis and sabji, whatever it is they're eating.
Muri.
Muri, whatever it is. They don't need that. You know? So that's the whole point. It was designed by Kellogg as something that means he was running a clinic for people to lose weight. Either he was running it or he was the dietitian at that place, whatever. So he came up with something that felt like you ate something, but at the same time it was nothing. So that was called cornflakes. And so now they're trying to sell the world on it. But then, you already have mudi. It's one Bengali gentleman said, he was eating, he'd buy 100 grams of mudi, right? It's not a lot. And he had a bottle of water. And so he says, Moody, it's for cheating the stomach. Like that. He says, you eat this 100 grams of Moody and drink this bottle of water and it all swells up and then haribawa, you get through to lunch, right? So, you know, like that. So the problem is they'll take anything to make money off of it. So things that were easily available to people, you know, like education or medicine and that, now it's very expensive because it's all business. You know, and then there's business on business. They have the insurance. You know, so all this just goes on and on. Well, before it was the Ayurvedic doctor, he can tell you what to do and that and what's locally available. He can cure, you know, from something, you know, so easily. And it was something that people could afford. So that's the Vedic idea. So the Brahmins being able to advise on all these levels, it was available to everyone. And that's why then everybody, you know, would do something to give some support. Right? This is members of society providing him with all the necessities of life. So the Brahmin needs less, and so then easily he gets that. You know, so it's a good system. You just have to be... The point is you can't be so greedy. That's the point. When you get greedy where you want way more than what you should get for what your endeavor, that's where the problem comes up. Because in the Vedic system, everybody's producing, everybody's making money. You know, it's like in Calcutta, you've seen you have 20 guys sitting in a line with one basket of tangerines.
Yes.
And they all sell.
Yes.
Like that. So that it's not a problem.
Yes.
But in the modern thing is you got to get rid of everything and you're the only one selling tangerines. And so you won't have that volume there. It means you could be happy. Okay, you're the only guy selling, great. But they should be at the same rate. But now since you're the only one, now it's rare. And so now you jack the price up. And then the problem is the price goes up because you get more greedy. People can't afford it, so they stop eating tangerines.
Yes.
You know, and then only a certain people group eat it who are willing to pay the money. And so then the whole thing disappears from the culture. So that's what has to be regulated. That's why the government regulates prices and things like that. You know, it's the Vaishnavas have to make profit. Otherwise, how do they pay taxes? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they can't cheat. You know, so like I was saying, remember in the 70s, you'd have these guys. You know how you take oil, and you take the bottle of oil, and you have a little bit of cotton wool, and you put a little bit on it. And they offer it to the deities and stuff. Right? So then you take that and roll it out and stick it in your ear. Yeah. So the quality of oil in those days is that one of those would give smell, the scent, for 1 month.
1 month?
1 month. The top quality.
That's hardly one day.
Yeah, and that's the top quality now. So how much is, you know, and that was affordable. These were, you know, regular guys that are sitting in the shops and stuff like that. You know, someone else would buy a little bit less, you know, so it's like sugar would be like, what was it? Can't remember what the price was, but it would be, I think it was down around like 30 paisa would be your cheap sugar. You know, 35 would be a little bit better, 40, you know, and 45, you know, 45 would be like top class. You don't get any better than that. You know, it's like perfect. So it would just be a few paisa difference, and the person who doesn't have much money will always buy the cheaper one. You know, I even remember cars. I think Cadillacs back in like the 60s. You know, they would cost, the entry would be like around 2,800, and then they go up to like 3,800, or I mean go up to yeah, I mean start at three, go up to like 4 or something because of all the electric windows, this, that, and all that kind of stuff. So the difference between the whole car and the luxury car, it would be like 1,000 or 1,500 more than a regular car. And
which currency
are we talking? Dollars. And so then... Yeah, no. Yeah. Yeah. And so then, you know what I'm saying? So the difference was very little. So you'd buy the car that was only, you know, 2,700. You wouldn't buy the one that's 3,200.
Yes.
You know, because that 500 meant a lot to you. You could buy a lot with 500. You know? Nowadays, you know, you can get a box of tissues or something. And even then, no guarantee when you blow your nose it doesn't go through. You have to use two of them. Yeah. So that's the thing, is quality things were available at not much expense. And so the rich people, yeah, were richer, but it's just they only needed a little bit more to be rich. you know, now unless you're, you know, hundreds of millions, you're not rich. But before, you know, if you were a million, that was it. You didn't need more than that. You know? So the range is different, but that means that there can't be so much greed. You have to be more satisfied with your life and interactions, relations, the social interaction and all that. And that will only come by devotional service. But as you have this more and more greed, then the whole thing will just fall apart. You know, and then, you know, yes, everybody will be independent and do their own thing, but it'll be a little bit more like Mad Max. Right? So if you're into iguanas for lunch, then go for it. Yes.
Because this morning you mentioned the military model.
Yes.
So it seems that military model actually is way better than corporate, according to this description.
Because corporate, it's the military, you know what it is. They say what it is, and it's supposed to be practical.
Right.
Corporate, what they say it is not what it is. They're trying to take something that's a monster and make it look like it's, you know, a unicorn or Cinderella or something. You know, that's the difficulty, because corporate's not about individuals. It's about profit. Because right. You have to understand when you make strategy, right? Because you talk about strategic planning, that's a military thing. So the strategy on the military is to have a peaceful country where the citizens are safe.
Yeah.
Then operational, then you're going to have military, you're going to have education, you're going to have police forces, you're going to have so many things to make that happen. Then there's the practical, how they're running that military, how they're running all these different things, right? And so that way you get the what do you call it? Strategy, operational, and tactical. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then nowadays where they're teaching all these skills and all that, that's mechanical, it's lower than tactical. And then you're saying, because you have that. But then if you're running on the platform mechanical, that means you're working for someone.
Right.
You know, no question. So people are so foolish, they don't understand. They're just being trained to be shudras. And if you're really good at it, they'll pay you a little more. Right? Until the better one comes along. Right? So now the problem in corporate, what's in the point position of strategy? Right? The buck. Right? So it's about making money. So operational be whatever, what are ways we can make money. And then the tactical be how the business practically goes on and that stocks and all that kind of stuff. So that's the difficulty, is that since the goal is only money, there isn't anything more. Right? Even nowadays giving charity is part of, you know, being seen as you have money. You know, old rich families, they give in charity because they're supposed to. It's a duty. The new ones give just because then everybody will see. Right? Because these, you know, these established wealthy families, you won't see them on the stage with one of those big checks. You won't see them. You know, it's people who, because of that, then they'll make profit.
It's still business.
It's still business. So charity is business. And now if you can write it off in taxes and stuff like this, so it's just, you're going to lose it anyway, so might as well give it to who you like, and then you're a good guy. They're going to take this much tax, but if you're given this much in charity, they'll take less. Therefore, you're the good guy. But if they weren't taking that much tax, you'd never give in charity. You know, so the corporate model is not very good. Like that. And especially for devotees, because we don't even use the corporate model. Because the corporate model, then you have, yes, you have the board of directors. And then you have the CEO. So who's running it? He's the one that actually runs. The board of directors give direction and all that. But, you know, they're experienced, but he actually runs it. It's his reign. Who gets the reign? So that should be the president, right? But is the board of directors giving that to them? No. And you have the very fun part is if you've gone public, which is what they'll be looking at, right? That's the corporate world. We're not talking about, you know, the family-run business on the corner or something like that. Is the shareholders can vote you out. So if we can do that, now we got corporate.
But isn't there?
No, so therefore it's not corporate. So you have authority of administration without any responsibility. So it's a very bad system. It's an impersonal system. And the fun part is that it's made like, this is the new thing and where it's at. In the Arthashastra, which is 2,500 years old, then there's some chapters on how the king deals with corporations. So corporations have always been there. It's part of the Vedic thing, but it's controlled. So they can't just do anything. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's a bad model. They say. The dog, bad model, bad model. Yeah. It's not useful. You can say no, but we have to be practical. Then great, who's the Vaishya? Where are these Vaishyas that can use the corporate model? And the Vaishyas aren't the ones doing all the work on the corporate level. They got all the MBAs, so where are all the MBAs? So how is it practical? Well, the Vedic system, that can work for devotees, because Daiva Varnasha, as devotees, then they understand these things. Those that have an understanding, but not have that determination, they have that leadership in Krishna consciousness, they can give advice to those who are administrating in Krishna consciousness. So the Vedic system will work very easily for devotees. Take a little time to get everyone to understand, you know, where everything works. But it's actually would be the easiest thing to establish. Corporate, they'll never be able to in a million years to establish it. Because what are you working with? You know.
Where's the money?
Yeah, where's the money? Yeah, show me the money. Right? So you can't make, what do you call it? You can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. You know that one?
No.
That's an old English one. Sow means a female pig.
Oh.
So you can't make a silk purse, you know, for keeping your money in out of a ear of a pig.
The new saying is you can't make an ice cream out of stool, but different word.
Yeah, I would probably we'll go with the more classic one.
Principle
is the same. Yeah. So does that make sense? The point is that's why we're given Daiva Varnashram, because we can use it. Because by the qualification of Krishna consciousness, then we develop the aspects of goodness that we can actually run it. And if we say, well, we tried it and it didn't work, that's because people weren't purified enough. You know, it means devotionally they had advanced, but the conditioning hadn't been purified to the point you can use it, because you require goodness. And the problem with it, you require goodness to even be able to understand it. So if people still can't understand it, there's not enough goodness. So then, to use it, you have to be more Krishna conscious. So why isn't that a good system? By the corporate, then, you know, the worse you are, the better it works. You know, it's like that. I saw one poster, and it was about, I think it had two guys there, and their business suits and that, you know, a little bit, you know, pudgy and that, and with these really, crocodile grins, total, like, you know, just so sleazy, you know, just total, like that. And they're there, and the caption, I mean, the title is "Good Guys Finish Last," right? And then the subtitle was "Here Are the Winners." So they were the worst. So that's the thing, and because that's the bourgeois culture. I mean, it's the whole Western world is based on the bourgeois culture. So then, you know, we laugh at it. But actually, it's a problem. You know, because what's the problem with kings? They regulate the Vaishyas. So what's the first thing Vaishyas want to do if they get enough power? Get rid of the kings. It's economics. We think it's always political and they care about the people. They don't. They just care about their money. You know? You know, it's like the guy with the big businessman. He pumps money into two sides of a war. Mm-hmm. And whichever one is supporting the best, he'll give more to him, so he'll win. And if he upsets him, he'll give more to the other side. So it's just like, you know, where are we talking about? You know, it's not about the people. It means you present. That's what advertising's for. Advertising is to make something that's useless sound useful. So that's why these things we would stay away from. And Prabhupada and the Acharyas, they don't look at it very kindly. You know, so you have to find this system. But the problem is everybody he wants to be in charge. So everyone wants to be the Brahmin. But the Brahmins, then they're not actually running things, so you want to be the Kshatriya. Right? But then they don't actually have the money the Vaishyas have. So then, you know, we're devotees, we're transcendental. So, you know, we do all the things like that, you know, because we're not the body Prabhu. And the problem is their body can't manage their way out of a wet paper bag. So then why are they trying to do it? Because they're not the body, and their body can't manage. Their mind, their intelligence, their falsity can't manage. So why are they doing it? So that's the problem. But as devotees, then what senior Vaishnava is not qualified to lead in devotional service? But as far as the external things, then you have to have the qualification. And that's the fun part. When it comes to devotional service, even if you're a Shudra, if you're advanced in Krishna consciousness, you're a guru of everyone else. So as far as giving devotional and that, you can give. Now those who have that ability, that brahminical ability to give advice and administration, they can do that. But otherwise, to lead within the society, you don't have to be, you know, a Brahmin, but the position of leadership and setting example and encouraging others, that has to be there. So it's a fine point so that you know, because everyone's like, who's in control? It's not about that. It's about how to please Krishna. Because as long as it's who's in control, who's got the money, then it won't work. Because if it worked, then it would have been working in the West fabulously for, since time immemorial. But you know, starting with the, you know, with Greece, you know, they you know, they killed Socrates, they stabbed what's his name, you know, Caesar. You know, so I mean, it's just like, you know, all the guys that could do something, they got rid of them. You know, so it's like, you know,
even Jesus.
Yeah, got rid of Jesus. You know, telling you what to do. You know, be a nice guy.
He
had to run away. And then when he got enough following, he came back and, how you say, KBTNP.
But wasn't he eventually poisoned?
That might be. Who knows? No, I think that was between the son and cousin or something like that. That's how you get the Shias and Shunis. Somebody got poisoned or killed.
Grandson.
So he did okay. But he went away, and then when he had enough power, he came back and then took over Mecca and then established, you know, monotheism. Otherwise, they used to have a festival where they had like 300 deities. So basically, he went through and says, okay, this one's the deity. And everybody else had to leave. Yes?
So, from what you've just described in the last 5-7 minutes about the science and the ability to apply it as daiva or an ashram, and that is only possible within the, let's say, the devotee community.
Yeah, within the confines of the devotees.
Yes. So
daiva varnashram can only be used by devotees. Varnashram can be used by others if they have the piety, but daiva varnashram can only be used by devotees.
So, with this division that seems the two will never meet, are we as devotees, part of our responsibility is to impact that non-devotee community in a positive way by how we operate?
Yeah, like that. It means if we're doing things and it works, then why others wouldn't look at it? Like I remember some discussion was there of a martial arts organization, and it was explained to them how, you know, is the theory of how we're supposed to work with the GVC and this and that. They were suitably impressed, like that. So the point is if we just use what we're doing, we're confident of that, and we explain it to others, they'll be impressed. Why they wouldn't be? Because it works. It's eternal laws. It's that, oh, no, they won't have faith. Because they've never seen it. It's never been explained. So it's a matter of being confident of and explaining it. That's how it works. You know, people are attracted by confidence. And it should be confidence in Krishna consciousness. Right? So that's the point. They're looking for something. They don't know what to do. They just do what's going on. People say, this is good. Okay, they do that. You know, some journalist makes some comment and all that, then everybody starts talking like that. And then someone else later comes up, oh, but it's scientifically looked at it and this doesn't work. It's actually like this. Then they'll talk like that. You know, any point of any issue you have, you look up on the internet, you know, you word it in such a way that's supportive of it, you'll find tons of stuff. You word it in such a way that it's against that, and there'll be tons of stuff. So it's just whoever talks loudest. That's all. So we have what we do, and we'll do it. It'll work for us, and if others want the benefit, then they'll follow. And if not, they won't. But, you know, how is it working out? Yes?
One of the spiritual masters of Russia, he mentioned that as much as devotees preach Krishna consciousness, so much people who didn't accept Krishna consciousness accept personal Vedic philosophy, means Mayavada spirit.
But they're already Mayavadis.
Yes.
But they now become more educated Mayavadis because they accept Indian philosophy.
Yeah, but that's the way it goes.
Will it not be dangerous if Asurika Varnashrama will be spread? And
the point is the two go together. Because it's like, does Jarasandha harass Brahmins? Right? He respects Brahmins, he worships Vishnu, he gives them charity. You know, he does all these nice things. But at the same time, being a demon, you know, he catches all these kings and sticks them in prison, you know, stuff like that. You know, there's got to be something wrong. So the point is that to be able to follow Varnashram, they require goodness. So the thing is they're only going to get that way in this age by devotional service. Right? In other ages, they have the advantage of the sampradayas and people go to them. In this age, they don't understand descending knowledge. They only know ascending. That's just a quality of Kali Yuga. And so then they have to be trained. And so then in training, then they'll take it up. See, because the thing is we don't have to, we just have to manage our society and practice ourselves. Because the point is there's already people who are running the country. They're Krishna conscious, then they'll run it in a Krishna conscious way. There's already people doing business. They'll do business in a Krishna conscious way. There's already Shudras. They're doing that. There's already the intellectuals and that. If they're Krishna conscious, they'll do that in their Krishna conscious way. So all we don't have to, you know, from ourselves generate it, that we have to go in and do that. It's already going on. It's just you have to raise the consciousness. That's what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said. There's no shortage of anything. There's a shortage of Krishna consciousness. So we don't have a shortage of administrators. We have a shortage of Krishna consciousness in administration. So if they become Krishna conscious, then that'll work. But unless they have Krishna consciousness, you can't make it work. Doing a few yoga asanas is not going to get anyone back to Godhead. It's not going to run a society. It's not going to run a country. It's not going to make money. No, the point is to run it, you still have to be have some goodness. Where the karma is going to get the goodness from? So they hear from devotees, they'll become purified, and so that will become the prominent, like that. And if they're following in the back of it, still works. Like in India, when we came to India, people are following Varnashram more, so all the facilities and necessities of devotees was easily available. Mm-hmm. And now as they become turned away from that and get more Western, it's harder to get the things that are you need in Krishna consciousness.
When we preach to Indian people in university, it was more difficult to convince them to come to Krishna consciousness or to chant Hare Krishna.
But, so why worry about them? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The point is that you have a specific amount of time and energy and facility. Use that where it works best. If the only people around are those Indian guys, preach to them. But if not, then preach to whoever responds. You know?
Yes, I agree. I mean that Indian people, they have so many alternatives, not only Krishna consciousness. They can when we
that's because they're enamored by the Western culture. Those who aren't, then they'll be saying the same thing we say. Just they're not necessarily so Krishna conscious. You know, it's like Prabhupada says, you can only wake up someone who is asleep. You can't wake up somebody who's pretending to be asleep. So to try to get, you know, these modern Indians to wake them up, they can't be, because they're you know, they think they're Westerners. Like you know, for I noticed I went to one wedding. You know, it's all how you say, yeah, it's all Hindu like that. It's all modern. They're all really rich and all that. And now let's say, and at the wedding, not one lady had her hair tied. Not one. Right? And so, and their idea is, no, we're being modern. But if you look at any wedding in the West that has any class to it, every woman ties her hair because that's more refined, it's more formal. And weddings are supposed to be formal. So if they go to church, they go to this, then they'll do that. But they won't, out of policy, because we're, you know, that's an Indian thing. So we want to be Western. So Westerners don't tie their hair, so we'll never tie our hair. You can look at that. No Indian woman in the West ever ties her hair, unless she doesn't speak the local language. Right? She speaks Gujarati or Hindi or that, then she may tie her hair. But her kids never will. I mean, absolutely. They'd rather die. You know? So that's the problem. Right. Yeah, so I avoid those temples. Like Jersey? I don't go to Jersey.
It has been understood that the Vaishnavas, they are the Vaishnavas, they are the top Brahmanas, and therefore, as one becomes senior in Krishna consciousness, it is understood that they are in a position to give advice to the dependents.
And yes, but advice in what?
Advice in both spiritual and material.
No. Means if they're advancing in Krishna consciousness, then any devotee then can give advice in the spiritual.
Yeah.
But according to their conditioned nature, that's where they can give advice on the material. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That has to be very clear. Otherwise, then you come up with all kinds of weird stuff that we're not this body, we can do anything we want.
Yes, exactly, that's what.
Yeah, but the point is there's the regular thing, the standard thing. You do that. Does that make sense? You have to know what the standard is and follow that. So those who have that advancement in Krishna consciousness and understand administration, they can give advice there. But if they don't understand administration, why would they give advice there? You want the guy, he's a nice devotee, but, you know, if you ask him to boil water, he'd burn it. Then you want him telling you how to cook lunch? Right. So the point is you stick to your area that you can function in. Does that make sense? Yes? No? Yeah. So in other words, what is the standard? That's what we're looking at. So we want to go into all the things going wrong, then we can do that. But we're only doing that enough to understand that you have to be careful about how you're applying it. But you have to use your brain and apply it. So you advance in devotional service, you can advise others in chanting, how to be absorbed in this and that. But at the same time, as the brahmachari may or may not be able to tell others how to, you know, introduce sadhana into their household life, other than the temple program. But outside of that, they may or may not. Some may be able to. It just depends on the individual. So it's not automatic because one's senior that therefore you can talk about anything. You know, that's not how it works. You talk to those who know the area, that they talk in that area. Does that make sense? But devotional, like we're giving classes and that's anybody who has that maturity can do. So Bhagavatam class, these kind of things, than anybody who has that maturity, who's advising the managers, who's advising the business, then they have to, you know something about the field. That's at least what Manu says. You know, if you like that, then that's how it works. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Sama Veta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premananda ki.